Indiana to Erie, Ephrata to Fraser. This is Lincoln Radio Journal. On this edition, the one and only debate between Governor Tom Wolf and Republican challenger Scott Wagner took place this past week. David Taylor of the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association is here to lead a Capitol Watch fact check on what the candidates and the moderator said. And nothing infuriates the left more than when conservatives fight back. I'll have a town hall commentary on why that intolerance was on full display during the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation process. I'm Loman Henry, and welcome to Lincoln Radio Journal. We'll get to our Capitol Watch crew in just a couple of minutes, but first, news headlines from patownhall.com. In the "it seemed like a good idea at the time" file is this past week's gubernatorial debate between incumbent Governor Tom Wolf and his Republican challenger Scott Wagner. The debate took place at the annual dinner of the Pennsylvania Chamber of Business and Industry and was moderated by game show host Alex Trebek. Actually, the debate was dominated rather than moderated by Trebek, who spoke more than the candidates and was intent on showing off his knowledge of Pennsylvania politics. At the end, Trebek argued with Wagner. He advocated for a severance tax on natural gas, an exchange that elicited a chorus of boos from the pro-business audience. Criticism of Trebek's handling of the debate was instant and harsh. For his part, the Jeopardy host admitted it didn't work. Given that the candidates themselves actually got very little time to speak, Wagner has called for another debate. Wolf has refused all other debate invitations, preferring to keep a low profile headed into the November general election. Speaking of the election, Tuesday, October 9th is the last day to register to vote. So if you are not registered, go online or head off to your county courthouse and get registered if you would like to participate in this year's electoral process. PennDOT has found that partnering with private enterprise actually works. The agency credits the Rapid Bridge Replacement Program with allowing it to work with private contractors in replacing 558 bridges in just a couple of years, rather than the 8 to 12 years it would have taken otherwise. As a result of that success, PennDOT has put out a general call for proposals from private firms with an eye toward developing other projects that would improve efficiency at the state agency, which is tasked with maintaining and hopefully improving our state's roads and bridges. Pennsylvania is getting yet another extension on joining the federal Real ID program. That law requires driver's licenses and photo ID cards to meet new standards. It's designed to thwart terrorism. Penswood's residents will now have until August of 2019 to get the new IDs, which will become available in March of next year. Real ID will be required to enter federal facilities like courthouses or if you want to get on an airplane. Read about all things Pennsylvania at patownhall.com. Incumbent Governor Tom Wolf, as I mentioned, content to sit on what until now has been a large lead in the polls, agreed to only that one debate with Republican nominee Scott Wagner. That debate at the annual dinner of the Pennsylvania Chamber of Business and Industry was, to say the least, an unusual affair. Here to fact-check what was said are our Capitol Watch crew, David Taylor, Matt Briette, and Rebecca Euler. David?
And welcome once again to Capitol Watch, where we keep an eye on what's happening under the Capitol Dome in Harrisburg for you. I'm your host, David Taylor, President and CEO of the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. With me in the studio, Rebecca Euler, Legislative Director for the National Federation of Independent Business in Pennsylvania. Rebecca, thanks for being on the program.
Glad to be here again, David. Thank you.
And being part of the conversation also, Matt Briette, President and CEO of Commonwealth Partners, the Chamber of Entrepreneurs. Matt, thanks for being here.
Hey, good to be with you.
Well, we all shared one of the more surreal experiences of Pennsylvania public policy recently that His Excellency the Governor Tom Wolf only agreed to participate in one gubernatorial debate in the 2018 election against his opponent, the endorsed Republican, the Republican nominee, York businessman, former state senator Scott Wagner. That debate took place just last week at the Hershey Lodge, and that it was the annual dinner of the Pennsylvania Chamber of Business and Industry, our great friends led by Gene Barr.
Yeah, David, Tom Wolfe refusing to engage in any more debates beyond this one is really breaking of tradition. I mean, Democrat and Republican incumbent governors have always agreed to at least three, right? I mean, we kind of have three parts of the state, Philadelphia, the mid-state, and Pittsburgh. And the fact that Governor Wolf refused to engage Scott Wagner in any debates, I think we know why. He's not very good at this. He demonstrated that, as we'll get into a discussion of this. But when you're ahead in the polls, I guess you can say, hey, I just don't want to give my opposition any opportunity.
Run out the clock.
That's right. That's right. And so Tom Wolf was able to avoid any real media scrutiny of forcing him to debate Scott Wagner any more than once. And he said, look, we've had a 5-month debate going on, right? Tom Wolf has tens of millions of dollars from the unions and trial bar that he's, telling us his story. Mm-hmm. A lot of it falsely, unfortunately, which I'm sure we'll get into.
Oh yes, yeah. We will.
And so he's refused to debate Scott Wagner. And unfortunately, I think you could probably say he agreed to one debate. We still haven't had it.
Yeah. So, Rebecca, do you want to explain to the listeners exactly what went down?
Well, the debate was hosted by the host of Jeopardy, of course, Alex Trebek, and it wasn't necessarily a debate as you would consider a debate in the classical style, to say the least. It was
no, not at all.
It was a little bit of input from Alex Trebek on his opinion of the issues in the state, and then he would toss it to the candidates. But I believe that the statistics were run, and it actually turned out that Alex Trebek took up almost half of the debate time himself.
Yeah, actually the numbers were 41% of the time was Alex Trebek, 32% Scott Wagner, and 27% Tom Wolf. That at the beginning, when Alex Trebek said, hey, we've always had these traditional debates and I want to do something different. I was actually very hopeful that we might go in a different direction. Alex Trebek said that he had studied this, and I think he demonstrated that. And then he really wanted to demonstrate it to the rest of us that he had some knowledge, and some of it that he knew for sure was exactly not true.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's I think that's an important point that we'll get to in just a minute. That because he was very lightly informed, that he got a great big snootful of conventional wisdom, most of which is wrong. And so at least this gives us a chance on today's program to walk through some of those things.
It was really disappointing from the standpoint of someone who's, interested and involved in public policy and interested in politics to watch it, because there are so many issues that we have before us here in this state that we really need to deal with and we need solutions to, and we need to move forward and discuss. And there was so little time spent on those issues.
Before we get to the current, big whopper, which is that somehow that the natural gas industry pays no taxes in Pennsylvania, let's go after the vintage one, the classic whopper, which is that that Governor Tom Corbett cut $1 billion out of education funding.
Yeah, this one, of course, is the canard that just keeps on coming back. I mean, it does not matter. The facts simply do not matter. And unfortunately, it's one of those myths that has become reality in Pennsylvania, that the belief that Tom Corbett cut the money. Tom Wolf is declaring he has restored it. Of course, I think that this is one of the areas that Scott Wagner correctly pointed out, that Tom Wolf did absolutely nothing to restore any money or even add any money to public schools, because he did not sign any of those budgets that had added.
And therefore deserves no credit.
That deserved no credit. But of course, also pointing out that those monies that Tom Corbett supposedly cut were simply the ending of the stimulus money. The printing presses stopped in Washington, D.C.
Yes, yes.
And that was money that we knew wasn't coming back.
And that's the really critical point. This was the one-time, non-recurring Obama stimulus, federal taxpayer money, to the states, and even the school districts at that time were informed these are non-recurring revenues. It's a one-shot deal.
Rendell wrote letters to the superintendents to that effect. Yes.
Correct. Don't hire new people.
That's
Don't commit to ongoing programming.
Redo your roof.
One-time stuff.
Right.
And in fact, during that period, the state government reduced the state funding for public K-12, backfilled and plussed up with federal stimulus. And then, of course, when the federal stimulus money went away and we had a new governor, that the new governor finds a flaming bag of you-know-what on his porch. So, I mean, this was a political trap that was set, and that over time that state government under Tom Corbett did increase school funding to the point where
it exceeded
where he started. You're listening to Capital Watch. I'm David Taylor from Pennsylvania Manufacturers. With me, Rebecca Euler from NFIB and Matt Briett from Commonwealth Partners. And so the other big whopper, again, just to put it out there, that Pennsylvania's natural gas companies, that they pay, in addition to Pennsylvania's corporate net income tax, in addition to Pennsylvania personal income tax, in addition to Pennsylvania sales and use tax, in addition to every other tax that's paid by every other business in Pennsylvania, that the natural gas industry also pays an industry-specific tax called the impact fee, and that tax over the past 10 years has brought in $1.5 billion that has gone to communities and local governments to ameliorate the impacts of the industry, also to go to the state cabinet departments like the Emergency Management Agency and the Department of Transportation and the Environmental Protection Department, to the ones that are directly responsible for overseeing that industry. To say that we don't have a severance tax is a lie by omission, because – and even at the debate, the governor said, oh, well, Texas has one. Yeah, Texas has no PIT. Texas has no CNI. Texas is a right-to-work state. Texas has a stable regulatory climate where your permits get turned around in one business day, when in Pennsylvania you have to wait for 3 months, and that's if you're lucky.
Yeah.
So again, it's just like – it is so – infuriating to have these knowing, deliberate untruths repeated over and over again, to the point where a casual observer like Alex Trebek thinks that it's true.
So, David, I'm curious though, because you were in the crowd at this time. How did you restrain yourself from charging the stage at that point?
I stood up and yelled. many people did, but I couldn't.
Well, you were lectured for that too by the host.
I couldn't help it. I shouted out, "You don't know what you're talking about." Because it's true. And again, this is the tragedy of the opportunity cost. The opportunity cost of the one debate, that one a literal golden hour, 60 minutes, that was going to be the one chance that Pennsylvanians had in this gubernatorial election to hear the two candidates together side by side, talking on the same issues, responding to one another, and that the bulk of it was wasted and just went for nothing.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think this is going to be the last that was it. Governor Wolf has refused to engage in any more debates. I think, and universally, we heard from everyone, the media included, that this was a disaster. And you're seeing editorial boards across the state saying, hey, we need to be able to contrast the incumbent with the challenger. And Governor Wolf is running for the tall grass, running for the hills, however you want to describe it. And it's going to be unfortunate because, he's going to be able to spread his misinformation with his millions of dollars from the trial lawyers and unions. And we're not going to be able to expose these lies.
Well, and unfortunately, this is of a piece with what we saw the other week, when the governor was the guest at Pennsylvania Press Club held in Harrisburg Hilton, and that when it came to dealing with questions, it was like he was a Martian who had just landed, and that all of this was terra incognita. didn't. Oh, I hadn't heard about that. Well, I'm not sure that that person said that. I mean, just like the complete and total, like the blanket refusal to engage in any of the sharp but legitimate questions that were being posed to him. It just bespeaks that approach, Matt, that you were describing, that he's doing the rope-a-dope, the keep away, the running out the clock. So it's just – it's infuriating because there are so many important issues that deserve to be discussed that just weren't. And so, Rebecca, let me just – I'll start with you. What were some of the concerns that small business folks have that they would have liked to have heard but that these issues weren't addressed?
Well, I was anxious to hear more discussion about how to improve the economic environment in Pennsylvania, because we know the economy is sort of going wild across the country right now because of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Small business optimism is at an all-time high, but in Pennsylvania, we're a little bit behind the curve, and there's a lot of things we could do to improve that. For example, we're behind on a lot of the indicators. Unemployment is higher in Pennsylvania than it is across the country, and some of our taxes are higher here than they are in most places, which, of course, puts us at a competitive disadvantage. So I would have liked to heard of more of a discussion over how we change those things. And in fact, you brought up the corporate net income tax and the personal income tax here in Pennsylvania earlier when we were talking about the severance tax. The governor has proposed raising those taxes several times throughout the past couple of years. In every budget he's proposed, almost every budget he's proposed raising.
But conveniently ignored
them.
Those, right?
We didn't hear anything about them. And those are some issues that small businesses care about. We did hear a mention of the skilled labor shortage. Senator Wagner talked about the skilled labor shortage in the state, and he also mentioned regulations and the burden of the regulatory environment on small businesses in particular. I would have liked to have heard a lot more about those issues, because those are things that are really going to change things here for the economy in Pennsylvania.
And that was another blunder with Trebek. I think, I mean, just to smack him around just one more time here, that he also fouled up the debate in that whenever one of these particular subjects got traction and that both candidates were speaking about it, that the moderator, the game show host, that he would step in and squelch it and force them to move on to the next thing. And that was also very not helpful.
Right. It's almost as if he had a list of talking points that he wanted to hit during the program. And he sort of went down each of them and hit on the points that he wanted to make about those particular issues.
Very unhelpful. Matt, what were some of the things that you thought would be discussed that just they never got around to?
Well, Scott Wagner attempted to talk about the special interests that have funded Tom Wolf, that while Tom Wolf wants to declare himself free of those special interests, talk about how he takes no gifts, they have a gift ban, and that he is just trying to do the people's business, yet all the while he's predominantly funded by unions and trial lawyers and doing their bidding. Folks who represent less than really, 5% of the population of the electorate, yet they control pretty much everything that Tom Wolf does. Without their approval, he does not sign anything.
SEIU, AFSCME,
that's right.
PSEA.
All of the unions whose business plans are built on bigger government, more taxes, more spending. And so that to me was the elephant in the room that is always ignored, unfortunately, by the media. And clearly, Trebek had no clue. Yet these are the monies that are allowing Tom Wolf to be spending over $15 million.
And that's something else that just sort of infuriates me, because the governor spoke about having what he called campaign finance reform, which means limits on individuals and businesses and their involvement in the political process and the debate over these ideas and priorities. But as we all know, those limits on individual contributions don't apply to these special interests that are funding his campaign today. So it's essentially he wants to have unilateral disarmament on the part of the other side, the party opposite.
Yeah, I mean, there was so many opportunities, of course, to call it the hypocrisy of Governor Wolf. I mean, another area was Governor Wolf's vetoing of a bill that would have helped to deal with the opioid crisis. Instead, he did
and
the bidding.
And to protect workers from quack medicine.
Correct. Instead, he did the bidding of the trial bar, who have given him over $1.5 million. And vetoed legislation that was supported by the business community, by folks who recognize, hey, this could have a positive effect in fighting the opioid crisis. And yet none of that, again, came up in this debate yet. These are the things that the voters should know, that this governor, yes, who claims to not be a tool of any special interest, has performed exactly like their puppet while he's been in office.
So the political pressure, I mean, I think that, you know, as we said at the outset, that because what we just experienced was so obviously inadequate and that everybody recognizes it left, right, and center, you know, even the adversarial media, you know, recognizes that this is not – it's not enough. I mean, will there be a political price that Governor Wolf will pay from refusing to engage in any additional forums?
Doubtful. I mean, I'm sorry to be cynical. Unfortunately, if this were, here I'll be cynical. If this were a Republican incumbent governor and he refused to debate and only agreed to one, and it was a disaster like this, I guarantee you there would be an outcry from the media demanding that this happen.
Relentless drumbeat.
That's right. Without
a relentless drumbeat.
Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to see that. And the people of Pennsylvania are not going to see the contrast that we could have otherwise seen.
Well, I mean, as ever, people who listen to the show, and thank you for listening, people who listen to our show have heard me say many times, representative self-government is not a spectator sport. That you have to choose to be involved. You have to choose to live life with your brain turned on. You have to choose to seek out sources of information that you can rely on. And again, please don't take our word for it. We thank you for being with us and listening to our show. Get out there. Learn about these things. Know who your lawmakers are. And know what they're voting on. And again, these are all the rigors of citizenship that we have to undergo to make, you know, to make our system work. Well, with that, we're down to the end of our time, and anyway, I'm on my soapbox here. But Matt, where can people go to learn more about you and your organization and the things that you're doing?
Yeah, go to facebook.com/Commonwealth Partners.
And Rebecca, where can people find you and your organization?
They can find us at www.nfib.com/PA/Pennsylvania or on Facebook and Twitter.
Wonderful. And as ever, you can find me online at pamanufacturers.org and on the Pennsylvania Cable Network on Sunday mornings at 8:30 with PMA Perspective. So from Rebecca and Matt and me, thanks to all of you for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Capital Watch. And now, a town hall commentary from Loman Henry.
Thank you, David. A favorite bromide of the left is tolerance. Tolerance to them, of course, is complete and total agreement with their view of America. Deviate from the talking points, and tolerance ends, usually with a series of tired old insults being hurled at anyone who dares to disagree. The left is at its most intolerant when the target of their venom fights back. They seem to take it as a divine right, well, at least those who believe in a deity, that their opinions and attacks are simply to be absorbed and accepted, and that anyone who fights back is a barbarian at the gates. This unflattering trait of the left was on full display in the days after Judge Brett Kavanaugh appeared before the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee to defend his honor and reputation after having been slimed by a series of unsubstantiated allegations which escalated in ridiculousness as each day passed. Kavanaugh came out of his corner of the ring fighting. He lit into those senators who for months had attacked him. He challenged his accusers. He defended his honor. And the left was horrified. He was denounced as an angry man who displayed an injudicious demeanor. He was accused of politicizing the court and compromising his fairness. Judge Kavanaugh had transgressed against left-wing orthodoxy by fighting back rather than meekly submitting to the public lashing he was taking merely for having been selected for the job by President Donald Trump. Trump himself is the poster boy for violating the left's prohibition against fighting back. Driving the left's visceral hatred of Donald Trump is, Unlike past Republican presidents, he isn't willing to sit quietly in the Oval Office and absorb their blows. Quite to the contrary, he immediately responds and compounds his violation of politically correct protocol by firing back. And the chorus from the left and its mouthpieces in the mainstream media goes up. How dare he attack us? As for the Supreme Court, the very thought that Judge Kavanaugh has politicized the panel is laughable. Look at any given case, and you can predict with 90% accuracy how each justice will rule. That especially is true of left-wing justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Elena Kagan, Sonia Sotomayor, and Stephen Breyer. In fact, if any justice veers from their ideological lane, it would be one of the justices more appropriately labeled constitutionalists. Here in Penn's Woods, the same left-wing outrage is being felt in the race for governor. Republican nominee Scott Wagner is a businessman with no interest in a long-term career in politics. He is blunt, plain-spoken, and couldn't care less about political correctness or the boundaries on discourse set by the left. As a result, he is pillaged by Governor Tom Wolf and his allies, who label him extreme, unhinged, and everything short of a madman. It is true that Wagner himself has suggested he should take some pills before speaking, but his Trumpian assault on the left is precisely the approach those working to secure pro-growth policies must take. What the left fears most is that the right has caught on to their tactic of intimidating those who disagree with them into silence or, at best, timid and watered-down responses. That is why they have plunged the nation into the politics of personal destruction, because they know they cannot win an intellectual debate, and if they can't browbeat their opponents into silence, then all that remains is to seek and destroy. Americans, however, have an affinity for the underdog and for the fighter. Deep down, we are not the safe space nation the left believes in. We are a nation of doers, of fighters, of people who go out and accomplish great things. The fact the left goes into meltdown when we fight back is proof positive that we should demand our elected officials at all levels become more aggressive in challenging their policies. After all, there is much truth to the old saying that all that is needed for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. With a Town Hall commentary, I'm Loman Henry. If you miss hearing Lincoln Radio Journal on your favorite radio station, audio of our complete program is available on our websites, LincolnRadioJournal.com and LincolnInstitute.org. For 23 years, Lincoln Radio Journal has been heard on public affairs-minded radio stations throughout the Commonwealth, including WBVP-AM and WMBA-AM in Beaver Falls, WBFD-AM in Bedford, along with WHLM-AM and FM in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania. The Lincoln Radio Journal is produced weekly by the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. The Lincoln Institute is completely funded through the generosity of individuals, corporations, and philanthropic foundations. They include the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association, the Allegheny Foundation of Pittsburgh, the Houston Foundation of Coatesville, and the Worrell Foundation of Carlisle, all of whom have helped to underwrite the costs of this program. Lincoln Radio Journal is a trademark of the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. Comments and opinions expressed on this program, those of the guests and not necessarily reflective of the views of the Lincoln Institute or of this radio station. From the Lincoln Broadcast Center in Harrisburg, I'm Loman Henry. Thank you for listening to Pennsylvania's most widely broadcast public affairs radio program, Lincoln Radio Journal. Plug into the pulse of Pennsylvania. Thank you.